PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBinAuto.com. A good Saturday morning to you, Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood. One of the rare instances that we're together here over the next month is I'm out of the office here for the next couple of weeks, with mostly with Emporia State football being on the road. So good to be here with you guys today. And boy, what an exciting time. Game one of the ALDS is tonight as we get some postseason Royals baseball, a second series for the Royals as they take on the New York Yankees.
Well, I mean, who would have thought? I mean, coming into this season, we were just hoping they would be at least remotely better than what they were last year, which wouldn't have taken a whole lot.
No.
But to be in the position that they're in, they win 86 games, they win a series in Baltimore, just improbable. But we have talked before, when you have that kind of starting pitching in these small series, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Of course, Baltimore, both teams do not obviously hit the ball particularly well, but
no.
I think you have to credit some of that, certainly the pitching that we saw in that series. But the Royals will have to score some runs against this Yankee team.
They've
got to find some offense somehow, some way. But, man, what an exciting time. There's nothing like playoff baseball.
No, it's so much better. I don't know if there's a sport that improves more in the postseason than baseball does.
I would agree. It's just, man, this is nothing like it.
Yeah, you can watch, I think hockey is probably better in the postseason, but you could watch hockey in the regular season, and it's still pretty enjoyable. But, man, playoff baseball, every pitch just means so much. Last night, Dylan, obviously, tough day at the office for Spartan football. How legit are these Indians?
They're good. I said it yesterday morning. I said it before the game. And I said it right when the clock hit triple zeros. Manhattan is legit.
Okay.
I thought they, with them being ranked at third in the media poll that I participate in, Manhattan is legit, and they got guys that are like twos and threes that are good.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's what you have to have if you're a good if you're a good team. If you have a real program, then your number twos and threes are guys who can step up if they are injured. That's what makes the good programs really good. It's not always just because their top 22 are better than your top 22, but it's the guys that they're going against on scout team, on second team, that are better than the guys that your number ones are going against. And so they get better each week during practice, and it snowballs from there. Big win for Madison in our Emporia High Main Street, in our Emporia, our area game of the week on Country 101.7. And speaking of Emporia Main Street, time to name our Emporia High Main Street Athletes of the Week. Coming up on the show here today, we will talk with Saul Trujillo, the head girls tennis coach for Emporia High. They'll be in action coming up next week at the Centennial League Tournament in Junction City. And yesterday, after the Hall of Honor luncheon and the induction for the 2024 class of the Emporia State Hall of Honor, I took a stroll outside with Coach O. The weather was so nice. I said, why don't we just do it outside? Like, well,
there you go.
Sure. Why not? I guess that's fine. So we talked outside there. It was beautiful outside, but you'll get a preview of Lady Hornet basketball with me and Coach O coming up later in the show. Then, of course, Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. But without further ado, Dylan, our Emporia High Main Street Athletes of the Week, and let's start with the Emporia High Athlete of the Week.
We're going to the girls' cross-country team for this week's Athlete of the Week, Madison Evans. She was seventh at Rimrock last week, and when you can finish seventh at Rimrock in a really competitive meet, and she's a sophomore and been the Lady Spartans' consistent number one for them. Madison Evans of the Emporia High Girls Cross Country Team, our Emporia High, Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And how about for an Area Athlete of the Week?
We're going with another runner as well. I know I was talking with Michael Deeker last night. With what Colton Nish did last night.
Pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive, but not as
impressive enough for Dylan Sherwood.
Well, so Emery Spies of the Osage City Girls Cross Country Team. She's had a great year so far. She was 11th at Rimrock.
Sure.
And she also won the Council Grove Invitational on Thursday. So she's having a great year, and... And so when you're top 20 at Rimrock, top 15, that's pretty huge in my book, because that's one of the biggest meets in Kansas for cross country. So Emery Spies of the Osage City Girls Cross Country Team is our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
And Emery Spies, definitely a name that comes up a lot when we were doing our state track and field reports.
Yes.
Last year down at down inside Coke Arena, with the event being taking place at Cessna Stadium last year. So, yeah, Emery Spies certainly going to be a factor in the postseason, we would think, coming up here at the end of the spring. So those are our Area Athletes of the Week, brought to you by Emporia Main Street. And if you had an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of Dylan at 342-1400. You can email him, SherwoodD@KVOE.com, or you can make your submission online. Just go to KVOE.com/athlete. That's KVOE.com/athlete. Let's take a time out. When we come back, we'll talk girls tennis for the Lady Spartans. They've had some success this year, and they are back in action at the Centennial League Tournament in Junction City coming up early next week. Saul Trujillo is the head tennis coach for the Emporia High Lady Spartans. He's coming up next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street, or visit us online at EmporiaMainStreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Hey, East Central Kansas, Chevy truck season continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the offers are even better. Get truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Offers like a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with lots of great options right now, only $489 a month for 36 months. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trax Active for only $289 per month for 36 months. Plus, you can get a 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for only $329 per month for 36 months. The truck season savings are great, so don't wait another day. Hurry in for our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can visit us online 24/7. At LongBineAuto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Payments based on 36-month low mileage lease, 12,000 miles per year, $6,500 cash or trade equity plus TT&L due at closing with approved credit.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Gonzaga University will be leaving the West Coast Conference and joining the Pac-12. The school will bring all of their athletic programs to the overhauled league, but since they don't have a football team, they will not be considered a full-time member. However, Gonzaga has some powerhouse programs headlined by their men's basketball team, who has played in 25 consecutive NCAA tournaments. It's been a long couple of years for the Pac-12, who has seen the departures of 10 schools. Right now, the conference only has two members in Oregon State and Washington State. However, the league has a resurgence on the horizon. In addition to Gonzaga, they will add five other schools in July of 2026. For now, it looks like the Pac-12 is stabilized amid the ever-changing landscape of college athletics. In the hunt for the Heisman, next on This Week in the NCAA.
What if you could...
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month, but you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Sponsored by Age of Learning.
End zone! Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! The best player in college football! Once again, Travis Hunter finds the end zone for the sixth time this season. A strike of 23 yards.
Mark Johnson from Learfield with the call as Travis Hunter's dominant season continued in Colorado's victory over Central Florida last Saturday. In addition to his six offensive touchdowns, Hunter has also forced three turnovers playing on the defensive side of the ball. The Buffaloes, led by head coach Deion Sanders, are 4-1 so far this season. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Boy, the end of the tennis season for the girls, boy, really sneaks up on you. Here it is, the first Saturday in October, and we're already coming up on the end of it as the Lady Spartan tennis team is heading to the Centennial League tournament on Monday. They've got regionals the Saturday after that, and then it's state week. So no better time to get in Saul Trujillo. He is the head girls tennis coach for Emporia High School. Coach, great to have you back in studio. Thank you so much for being here.
Yep, thanks for having me. I really loved being on here last time. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I remember we talked a little bit about his family relations on the and the Emporia High coaching staff, who was a better soccer player. But let's get into tennis a little bit here. You guys had your home invitational on Monday, finished in a tie for fifth, had your doubles team finish fourth. Looking at how you guys played there, how do you feel like you graded out, you would grade out the team and how they played in your home event last week or earlier this week?
I think we're at a good spot right now. The girls have been getting better every week, which is what we're looking for. We have a tournament coming up here in a little bit. We have league coming up, and we're just trying to improve and keep going at an upward pace, and hopefully we'll keep doing that going into regionals. So I'm happy where we're at. We're in a good spot. I mean, there's still small things that we're still working at practice that we can improve on, but overall, I'm pretty happy.
Well, you too, you've had to shuffle the deck a little bit, right? I mean, in terms of injuries, of course, to a very key member of your team, and it just seems like the girls have stepped up.
Yeah, so our number one singles player, Callie, she's had an awkward season. Thankfully, it's her junior year, not her senior year, mm-hmm. but still, it's unfortunate. But we've had girls step up into the singles spot. We've had Nitty Patil, who's on JV, that stepped onto the varsity spot, and she's got to experience what it's like playing against varsity players, because there is a big difference, the pace and how well they hit the ball. So she's been learning things, and we've been kind of trying to coach her, so when she does eventually end up in that spot, she'll know what to do and how to play. So it's been an awkward season so far.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about Katie Smart and that number two singles and then had to shift to that number one with Callie with the injury she's had?
Right. Well, Katie's a senior. She came out. This is her first year coming out, which it's kind of frustrating because we wish we would have had her as a freshman because she's so good. She's so good. But she came out this year and we've been teaching her some small tricks because she's such a good player and she just needs a little bit of advice here and then. But she has filled into that number one spot, and she's been playing really consistent and really smart. We're so thankful to have her. She's such a sweet girl, and she's really good. So we're lucky to have her on our team.
So Trujillo is our guest. He is the head girls tennis coach for Emporia High, getting set for the Centennial League tournament on Monday. It seems like the most consistent success that you guys have been on the doubles side of your roster with Peyton Chanley, Kinsley Hines. They've been a pretty consistent performer. What has made that combination work so well for you last year after being in a similar situation to some of your players last year in terms of last year going through taking some lumps and getting some experience, and it's looking like it's paying some dividends for them this year?
Right. So they played number two doubles last year. They were sophomores, and Peyton had made it to state her freshman year, so she already had some varsity experience. Kinsley was kind of stepping up into that varsity spot last year in the number two spot. And doubles, I mean, it's hard to play doubles when you don't know how your partner plays or how they react to certain situations. So they played together last year at the number two spot, so they already had that year of experience together, and then they stepped up to that number one spot. And there wasn't really anything new between them this year. They just had to work on like hitting better shots and improving their serve and things like that. So they're at a really good spot. They're playing really solid tennis, and I'm happy where they're at right now.
You mentioned the league meet on Monday. That's at Junction City. Where do you feel your team fits in terms of where the league may finish out?
I don't know, to be honest. We've seen Manhattan and Topeka and all the other schools, and Washburn too. I feel like we're in a pretty good spot. I know Hayden has a tremendous singles player that's just insane. She's really good. But overall, I think we're in a really good spot. I'm not going to lie. I feel like our home tournaments that we host all these big 6A and big 5A schools that are just really, really, really good and really have really strong programs. So I feel like league's kind of our weaker tournament. So hopefully we do well. It's still going to be hard. If we don't show up, we'll struggle. But if they do show up and play their game, I think they should be fine.
And regionals coming up next Saturday in Salina. Salina Central hosting, and Salina Central has a couple of good doubles mm-hmm. teams there. You know, two of them are a part of a triplet of sisters, and then the other sister is with another girl, and they were medalists at state last year. And I know that's a tough regional for, especially on the double side.
Right. So I like to scope things out, and thankfully there's records on Keisha, and we can kind of compare mm-hmm. and see who certain teams have lost to or who they have beat. The single side for our region is kind of easier. The double side is kind of tough. But if the girls play well, I think they can squeeze it in and make it a state. But, I mean, you never know. Mm-hmm. On any given day, you never know who's going to win. But, we're looking forward to it. The drive, I'm not looking forward to the drive. But
sure.
But, yeah, we like going to Salina. They have some good courts and it's fun there. So
hey, you know, if you don't like the drive, you could be going to Nebraska Kearney. That's in a couple weeks if you want, Coach.
Yeah.
We're talking with Solo Trujillo. He is the head girls tennis coach for the Emporia High Lady Spartans. Your number two doubles team finished 11th at home, Alexa Tovar and Chelsea Mendez. I know hopefully they're going to be getting the same kind of experience that Peyton and Kinsley got last year. How do you feel like that doubles team is coming along?
Right. So they're at a decent spot. It's their first year together on varsity, so they're kind of getting used to the pace of the ball and how to play at that varsity level. I believe they went 2-for-2 this last varsity tournament. There's some things they can work on. They're still sophomores, so we still have a lot of time with them, but they're in a good spot, and they are really coachable, which is the best part. I always, when we start the season, that's one of the things I tell the girls that I'm looking for, and they respond to advice, and they're a pair of good girls as well. So,
as far as the health of your team, you hope to have all hands on deck by the time you get to regionals.
That's what we're hoping for. Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. Callie's been hurt. She's had an up and down season. She was battling blisters at the beginning of the season, so she missed a couple tournaments, and then she came back and had another injury, so she's recovering from that. So, we're hoping they're healthy and they're ready for regionals.
And then for state, I believe Andover's hosting 5A.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and
correct.
So, and then just to refresh the listeners, top six from each regional go to state. So that's six singles players and six doubles teams.
Yep, correct. And I mean, Andover's not too far. It's a better drive than Salina.
Sure. Right. Well, and I think we asked you a little bit about the soccer playing prowess of Coach Ibarra last time. You don't know Coach Trujillo, Coach Ibarra related. Who wins a tennis match between you two?
Oh, I think I have him, but soccer wise, he has me for sure.
Does he?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah.
Well, I guess final thing for you. Last question for you. the Centennial League tournament. You mentioned maybe a step down from the other competition that you've been hosting at your home event. If you go through the Centennial League schools, who do you feel like is going to be the top competition there on the single side and double side? Because I know that sometimes that can be different.
Right. We host some pretty rough tournaments. We have a pretty tough schedule, which I like. It gets us ready for regionals and league. Strength-wise, Washburn's always pretty good. They have a pretty solid doubles team. And then singles-wise, Hayden has a pretty solid singles player as well. So all the teams there are pretty strong, but Washburn and Hayden kind of stand out a little bit.
Once again, Emporia High traveling to Junction City. Centennial League tournament on Monday. When is first serve for that?
I believe it starts at 9 on Monday.
9 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Yep, so 9 a.m. Monday, Emporia High in Junction City for the Centennial League tournament. Lady Spartan head coach Saul Trujillo joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I love the questions. I love being here.
Hey, we will continue to have you back, and we will continue to promote Emporia High every single week during this show, as long as I'm the host. That's my guarantee. When we come back, we're also going to be talking a lot of Lady Hornet sports. And one of those is Lady Hornet basketball with Coach O. We previewed the season yesterday after the Hall of Honor banquet. That's coming up next. And then, of course, Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, after that here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbottAuto.com.
Hey, East Central Kansas, Chevy truck season continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the offers are even better. Get truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Offers like a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with lots of great options right now, only $489 a month for 36 months. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trax Active for only $289 per month for 36 months. Plus, you can get a 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for only $329 per month for 36 months. The truck season savings are great, so don't wait another day. Hurry in for our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can visit us online 24/7. At LongbineAuto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Payments based on 36-month low mileage lease, 12,000 miles per year, 6,500 cash or trade equity plus TT&L due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at EmporiaMainStreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Take the stress out of getting a mortgage. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union guides you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan and completing the application. Ultimately, getting you into your home on time and stress-free. When it's time to choose a lender, go with Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com to connect today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Of Jim Basketball, the two-time defending champion Las Vegas Aces kept their season alive on Friday.
Young gets inside and finishes. Timeout, New York. Jackie Young, a big game three.
Nash hit 24. Kelsey Plum adds 20. Two-time champs took control 16-point third quarter. Stave off elimination 95-81. Liberty in game three. And Liberty still have a shot at closing them out on Sunday. Nafisha Collier scored 26. The Lynx beating the Sun 90-81. They take a 2-1 series. League game four Sunday in Connecticut. Lynx look to advance those WNBA finals for the first time since 2017.
Back to throw. Gabriel. Time. Throws. End zone. Did he get it? Yes! Touchdown! They'll look at it. But touchdown, Oregon. And Evan Stewart made the catch and just got a foot down before it went out of the side of the end zone.
That's Jerry Allen from Learfield. Dylan Gabriel accounting for three touchdowns. Sixth-ranked Oregon remains unbeaten 31-10 over Michigan State. Jordan James ran for 166 and another score. Ducks up to 5-0. Third straight loss, though, for the Spartans. Syracuse 44-41 in OT over 25th-ranked UNLV 4 days after the Rebels broke into the AP Top 25 for the first time in program history. Kyle McCord threw for 355 and three scores for the winners. Houston knocking off TCU. TCU 30-19. Cougars end a 9-game slide against the Horned Frogs. NHL drops the puck on the season. Nico Hischier, one of four New Jersey scorers. Devils beat the Sabres 4-1. Played in Czech Republic, capital of Prague. And we've reached the divisional round of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Four games on ESPN Radio. Starts today with the Tigers and Guardians. Game one coverage at 12:30 Eastern. Kodai Senga off the injured list on the mound for the series opener. Mets and Phillies game one. Royals and Yankees follow 6 Eastern as the Padres and Dodgers closing the night in L.A.
Shop Macy's VIP sale going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com. The Emporia State Lady Hornet basketball season is just about ready to get underway. We are less than a month away from the start of the season, and we were talking with head coach Brian Osterman to get set for the season on Friday at the Hall of Honor Luncheon. Well, coach, not that far away here from getting things started. How excited are you to be back for year two of the Coach O era?
Well, I'm really excited. We start Sunday, and that'll be our first practice where we actually go longer than about an hour and 15 minutes. So I think I know the ladies are excited too, and we got a lot of newcomers that are blending in with our returning core. And, you know, anytime you hit October, you know, the leaves start to change. It starts to get a little bit cooler, although maybe not Saturday for the football game. But,
maybe not.
You know, it starts to get cooler out, and you know it's basketball season right around the corner.
Well, and one thing, first of all, going back to last year, I know that you move on and all that, but I always reserve the right to ask a couple questions about last year. You're one in the books, and I know that you set the standard of what Lady Hornet basketball needs to be very high, but a winning season, you guys make it to Kansas City, you win a game in Kansas City. Talk in terms of what you feel like last year's team set as the foundation for what you hope to build Emporia State basketball into.
Well, I think the foundation of getting back those expectations to be in the NCAA tournament, we laid that foundation. We certainly didn't accomplish that feat a year ago. But with the returning core that we have back, we have our three leading scorers back. They've been through the conference. They know the expectations of what's out there in terms of competing for MIAA championships. They know what the expectation is in practice, you know, the simplicity of what we do, but how hard we have to do things. I think with that good core back and that foundation laid, now it's time to build upon that, time to build a house, time to make more progress. Year two, we're really excited about it.
I know that you mentioned after the season that you had some recruiting to do. You've definitely done that. But you said that the most important people that you recruited, and obviously this is a difference now in this era of college basketball, is getting the players you already have to come back. And you said that there was no bigger addition to your team than Faith Paramore, Katie Harina coming back this year. What are they going to mean to your program in terms of the great leadership, great people that they are, and also they had great seasons last year?
Yeah, you know, certainly Katie played through some injury issues throughout the season, but her last month was extraordinary. Faith was, of course, an all-MIAA player. They both could have been done playing. They're using their COVID year, so they're in their super senior season, so to speak, along with Allie Osterman. And then, you know, Macy Smith is not a super senior, but she's back for her senior year. And then you got Gracie Gilpin back, who was second in the MIAA in three-point shooting. So those five are the core, and those five were just as important as anybody that we added. Now, with that being said, we know we needed to add some talent, which we added in a variety of ways.
Looking at the team last year, you mentioned going into the year, you had a certain way that you wanted to play. You guys wanted to get up and down the court. You wanted to play fast, shoot a lot of threes. And your three-point shooting, as the year went on, your numbers went up. The start of the year was an aberration. You guys got closer to the mean as the year went on. But you felt like you really couldn't play the way that you really wanted to last year. How much does this year go toward transitioning into the type of style of offensive play that you want to have?
Well, the one thing we did foundationally accomplish last year is we were tied with Missouri Western in three-pointers attempted per game. We made a few less than they did. Our percentage needs to get better. But from an offensive standpoint, finishing tied for first in the league in three-point attempts, we want to continue to shoot the three a lot. We certainly want to play more in transition, which with the greater depth that we have, we'll be able to do some different things defensively, perhaps to speed up the game a little bit more. Maybe some full court pressing and some of those things that will fit this particular team. I think the other thing that foundationally we laid offensively last year is we didn't turn the ball over. And I don't like teams that turn the ball over. So we got to take care of the basketball. We've got to continue to shoot the threes. We have added some pieces that'll really enhance an inside game that was pretty much non-existent most of the year. So recruiting has helped that area. So we're pretty excited about putting that whole offensive scheme together.
Looking at the defense, you guys, again, similar to the offense, I'm not sure you really played the way that you envisioned playing long term, but what adjustments do you feel like this year is going to look like on the defensive side of the ball? How similar, how dissimilar will it be?
Well, I think it'll be similar in balance. I mean, we're going to probably continue to play 70% man-to-man and, you know, 30% zone. I think we're right at those numbers a year ago. I think the thing you add when you add the depth that we've added through recruiting is we'll be able to pick up full court more, maybe press a little bit more, and maybe instead of being a team that presses, you know, 2% of the time, we might get that up to 10% of the time. Particularly after free throws and maybe even some three-point makes where we're able to speed the game up, because when you have greater depth, you want more possessions in a game, and your hope is that you can wear the other team down. And I think we've got 10, 11, maybe even 12 players because our freshman class is really outstanding that we're going to have to find some minutes for here and there.
Coach said that we were going to go and do this in his office, but he said, God, the weather is so great out here. Might as well do it outside. So that's why you're hearing a little bit of the wind here as we talk in the shade. But how fun is this time? You came from a football school. You were at a couple football schools, Texas Christian, Kansas State. How fun has it been for you? I know you mentioned you're going to volleyball tonight as we talk, which was Friday. How nice is it to be at a place where so many different sports when it comes to volleyball, to football, basketball teams both making the tournament last year, but just a lot of success throughout the entire athletic department?
Well, you know, your enthusiasm starts for your school year with your fall sports. And I love football. It's one of my favorite sports. And I love this time of year. And it's always awesome whether you're cheering for your K-State fans or the Kansas City Chiefs or here at Emporia State. Coach Higgins has a great football team. And then you get close with a lot of the other sports when you're at a smaller college like in the MIAA. So Coach Merchek and his group play their first home match. It kind of gets you invigorated for the start of the not just the school year, but our basketball season, which is now here.
It's fun to cheer for KU as well. We're not having as much fun as you guys are having this year, though.
KU's struggling a little bit in that football, but we certainly look for Coach Snyder and Coach Self to crank up the basketball. And they got a top 10 volleyball team up there at
they
KU
sure do.
This year. So,
well,
a lot of great sports in the fall.
Well, and one I wanted to ask in terms of like top 10 teams, there were a lot of Lady Hornet teams that were in the top 10 back when Jory Collins was here. You got to sit next to one of the players on those teams, Laura Patrick at the Hall of Honor, who went in. What was it like to kind of get to know her and converse with her about the Lady Hornet teams of yesteryear?
Well, you know, it's always interesting. She has so many fond memories, and yet the one memory that sometimes sticks out is the tough loss at the end. And they had an opportunity to go to the Elite Eight, and they didn't quite get it done that year. They made it to Sweet 16 a couple times. But Laura's the epitome of what we want our Lady Hornet basketball players to do, strive to win championships, strive to get to Sweet 16s and Elite Eights. And she was able to do that, and she's recognized as one of the greatest three-point shooters in our school's history. And congratulations to her on being selected for the Hall of Honor here at Emporia State University.
In terms of the new players you have coming in, certainly not that you won't go anywhere to find Lady Hornets, but you definitely have recruited local. There's a lot of local names from local names that are coming in from the Lady Spartan basketball program and Addie Kermer, Lexi DeWitt, Kaylin Noonan from Burlingame. How important is it to you to certainly keep the players that are here in Emporia and the Lyon County area, and also to a greater extent recruiting the MIAA footprint?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, the foundation of a great team typically is at this level is having players from your surrounding area or within your state, and we certainly were able to do that. We just finished up an outstanding fall. Kenzie McDaniel from Silver Lake. You got the Wichita area. I can't remember the Woodard Award winner in Elizabeth Jaden from Clearwater, and then you mentioned the local girls. So it's a phenomenal class, and that foundation of Kansas girls that recognize that it was just 15 years ago, Blake, that Emporia State Lady Hornet basketball won a national championship. Again, congratulations to Brandon Snyder, the KU coach, who won that national championship 15 years ago, and we got some things in store for that particular team down the road. But this is it's a great place to be here, and I'm very grateful that I'm the head basketball coach for Lady Hornet basketball.
Well, final question for you as you go into year two. I know the expectations are not going to get lower in year two. What are your expectations for year two?
Well, the expectation is to build that house on a foundation, and building that house means we really got to get to that next level and not just make the MIAA tournament and win a game. Let's go back to winning Back to the Future and winning a bunch of games and getting back into postseason. This team certainly has a lot more talent than year one, so I think you raise those expectations and a lot more depth, and then with the experience coming back of the players that we alluded to, Faith, Katie, and Gracie, I think the expectations are let's make a run back at that NCAA tournament.
Coach, not going to be too long before we're going to be doing this on the regular. Really looking forward to year two of the Coach O'Hara. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Blake.
Well, we were talking a little bit while the interview was going on, Tim, and you were mentioning that, boy, a lot of the Lady Hornet strength and good teams, there's been a lot of Kansas kids that have come down the pike and certainly that have been a big contributor. And, you know, I mentioned we talked a lot about a lot of Kansas kids that are going to be a part of this team and have a chance to contribute. And hopefully, you know, we'll find the next great in-state Lady Hornet star, and maybe one of them will be among the names hanging in White Auditorium. You never know.
They don't. You know, I go back, you know, to the Emily Blosses of the world and Tara Holloway's and girls like that who, man, they built the program and certain key components to a lot of success. And those are the kind of kids at Division II you got to get. You got to get your homegrown kids. When I say homegrown, I mean not just here, but certainly across the state of Kansas. And That's what built the program. And
yeah, without a doubt,
Coach O is certainly heading that direction.
So yeah, well, we're waiting on Mitch Holtis here, and as the voice of the Chiefs is our guest every Saturday here on the show, getting set for, of course, Monday Night Football against the Saints. In this time that we're waiting, might as well talk a little bit about Emporia State football coming up. Coach Higgins says that Gunnar Gundy is in. He will play, advancing through the medical protocols, and he's going to be in and playing starting today. Northeastern State, a team that I haven't checked out yet, have an extra hour today,
there
so watching some film on them after I get home after this, but a team that has struggled defensively this year. They've given up about 40 points per game. Mm-hmm. They've been a little bit up and down in terms of their defense, and a team on offense that has a lot of different guys that they will run at you. They have played three different quarterbacks this year. We're expecting to see two of the three are the most likely to play. They have one guy that I think he comes in mainly just on a package basis, but Dortch has had a shoulder injury. He's their normal number one, and then Milligan is their number two quarterback, and Northeastern State has like four different running backs that they'll run in. They seem to run a lot of package stuff where they have a guy, well, this is our short distance back, and they play a ton of different wide receivers, so hopefully this is a get-right game for Emporia State football today as they host homecoming against Northeastern State. Of course, you can hear that on the Hornet Sports Network and, of course, the flagship here locally, Mix 104.9, which segues quite nicely into Kansas City Chiefs football. And, of course, we're your home for the Chiefs Radio Network on Country 101.7. Mitch Holtis joins us as we get set for Monday Night Football. And Mitch, as always, is brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply, subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424226. And another tight win, Mitch, on the road at I don't know what the name is, Arrowhead Stadium West, Arrowhead Stadium Vegas, but there was a lot more red than powder blue in the stadium. It probably felt like a home game, and the Chiefs pulled out another tight game. All four wins this year, single digit wins for the Chiefs. How do they keep doing this?
Well, I'll take it further. That's 10 consecutive wins wrapped around last year, all the way back to Christmas Day a year ago. And the margin of victory is 61 points in those 10 wins. That's an NFL record.
Wow.
For slimmest margin of victory of any 10-game winning streak going back to 1921. Here's another one. Seven straight wins of 7 points or less. That ties an all-time NFL record. So that puts it in perspective of what the Chiefs have been able to do and how they're doing it. And then, to your point of GEHA Field, Arrowhead West, SoFi Stadium, that's 11 straight wins against the Chargers on the road. Now, that goes back to San Diego. The last game in San Diego in 2014, we played in Soccer Stadia. We've been at Cal State Dominguez Hills. We've been at SoFi with Radio Rick and the fake sound. And so, yeah, 11 straight there. But it's crazy, Blake, that the Chiefs just continue to scratch wins away here.
Well, and two, Mitch, to overcome so many adversities that they've seen so far this year. You know, you lose Pacheco a couple of weeks ago, Rashee Rice goes down in the Charger game. That they are overcoming a lot to stay 4-0 in the NFL.
Well, and you throw in Hollywood Brown on the very first play of the preseason. And, Tim, if you extrapolate the numbers, you're really those three guys that we just mentioned. That is about 2,800 yards and 15 touchdowns. So that's what you have to replace in opportunity cost, for lack of a better term, in the fact that you've got to figure that out. So for the Chiefs, it's everybody that can touch a ball, not the offensive lineman, unless we throw to him, Wanya Morris. And everybody has to be on this. And precise, eliminate mistakes, protect the football. Here's another stat just thrown at you. We're minus four in the first 4 weeks of the season, and we're 4-0. We were minus 11 last year and won the Super Bowl. Not a good way to live.
Nope.
Don't want to do that long term, right? It's going to hit you at some point. But the if teams are minus two or below, Tim, in the giveaway takeaway in the first 4 weeks of the season, their record is 12-20. The Chiefs are 4-0. So it's a matter of everybody, all hands on deck, filling in that void that you just alluded to.
Mitch, we saw really good strides out of Kareem Hunt, and it sounds like he didn't miss a beat and was able to run hard against the Chargers.
Yeah, Dylan, it's an awesome point, and I was curious how he would bounce back this week because I might have alluded to it last Saturday. I knew he was going to get some, but I actually think he got double amount that the Chiefs really wanted him to have. But the game dictated, hey, this dude's cooking. Looks like 2017 Kareem a little bit. Carson Steele's fumbling. Let's just let this dude roll, and he gets 14 touches in the game. But he looked very good at it. Now, he was sore. They were worried about his shoulder a little bit, but he'll be in the rotation on Monday night, and he's just right now an asset. You throw him, and that's what I'm saying, all hands on deck. Steele's got to quit fumbling, but you throw him, comma, P. Ryan, comma, Kareem Hunt, you're fine. You're fine. You can win with that three in combination at running back rotating.
Mitch Holtis joining us. Monday Night Football coming up. The Chiefs and the Saints, 6 o'clock pregame on Country 101.7. You've talked a lot about these incredible statistical streaks that the Chiefs have had and everything that Patrick Mahomes has done in his first 100 games and Travis Kelce, the historic year that and career that he's having. Something that I don't think gets talked about enough by the NFL media at large is it feels like this Chiefs front office is on a massive winning streak, and it's hard to quantify that because that doesn't have a lot of stats attached to it, but it just feels like every time that this front office has made a move, they've made the right move. They haven't overextended themselves. They haven't tried to do too much and compromise the future. Obviously, this is a situation here where there's going to be an opportunity maybe to pick up a running back or a wide receiver to bolster this team because of this injury situation. How do you think that this, I think, red-hot front office is going to handle this situation?
Now, Blake, it's an excellent point, and it's overlooked by the rest of the league. First of all, Brett Veach and his entire staff, including his cap management people, are incredible because they just stay on it all the time. I don't know when they rest, because even when the coaches get away, they stay on it pre-draft. And I guess they get a little bit of time in July, and that's it. But one, they just continue. I call them gerbils on a treadmill. Tick, 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 tick. They keep going. But then their decision-making, and to be in lockstep with Coach Reed and Spags and Nags and Tobe and what they want is a big key. I've said that the Lions now, I think, have this in the NFC, where your GM and his staff is in lockstep with the coaches and their staff and groupings. That's a big part of this. We don't talk about this defense. All the close wins is really it's a lot of things, but this defense has been incredible. They've had essentially three goal-to-go stands in the first 4 weeks of the season where the opponent has 0 points. Now, I know it was 4th-and-2 at the 3 against the Chargers, but that, in essence, feels like a goal-to-go situation. This defense has been great. Now, that's why I go back to your point about Veach, the 22 draft class, the Fab 5 DBs. They're all over this field right now. They're all playing. And here's, you know, Jalen Watson. We just had him on. People before homecoming today can drive it around, can find it on the app, and listen to the interview that we had with Jalen Watson this week. It's very revealing about what they do and how they do it. Chimari Connor, we've talked about him. Felix Anudike-Uzama is starting to play good ball. There's a rotation and there's depth on defense of talent and purpose, and that's due to Brett Veach because he knows what to find in his staff, and they'll go find it. They're going to look under every rock, and they put the ego aside. That's a big part of this story. GMs like to have egos. They like to think they're the guys that do it. Veach doesn't care. He just puts all that aside and just presses on. It's impressive.
Mitch, as we look at the Saints coming up on Monday night, outside of certainly quarterbacks that we can mention throughout the league who are key, through the first 4 weeks, has there been more of a key player than Alvin Kamara? I mean, man, what a first 4 weeks this guy's had.
Well, you can go way back after, I mean, more than this first 4 weeks. What an amazing 8-year career he's had. first back in NFL history to have 3,000 yards receiving and 3,000 yards rushing. The guy's he's a touchdown machine, 83 touchdowns, an all-time Saints record. He's not just a great runner, he's a great receiver. Now, Tim, the Saints changed their entire offense this year. They fired their offensive staff at the end of last year, and they went and poached the San Francisco 49ers staff. Clint Kubiak, you know, his dad, famous, is the OC now for Dennis Allen and the Saints, and they're basically copycatting. You know, I told you the Chargers are copycatting the Ravens. The Saints are copycatting the 49ers. And that includes Alvin Kamara. You think of the role that the 49ers, like CMC's got when he's healthy for San Francisco, that's the Alvin Kamara role. But they got a whole bunch more than that, dude. This is a nasty, feisty team. I've said all week long, this is a 4-0 Saints team, a 2-2 Saints team in 4-0 clothing. They are a whisker, two whiskers away from being just like the Chiefs and undefeated. They're good.
And, Mitch, I believe there's several former Chiefs playing for the Saints and some Kansas City ties as well.
This team is loaded with ties in, how about two, not one, but two MIAA players on this Saints team. So Colin Saunders, love him, love that dude. We'll hug him at every reunion we have. Is playing very good football for them. Willie Gay Jr. is there. He's hurt, will not play in this game. Not sure if Tyrann Mathieu will play, but he's also on this team. Kyle Passanio is on the Saints, but he's on injured reserve. And then there's the local guys. Christian Boyd, a backup defensive lineman, is a Blue Springs kid, played with Elijah Lee there, former Chief, former 49er. And he's a good player, played at Northern Iowa. But then you've got Nathan Shepard, who's in his seventh year of the league, Fort Hays State. Rico Payton is a DB for them, plays special teams. He's from Pitt State and a St. Louis kid. So there's just tons of ties. And then the kicker, Blake Groupe, is from Sedalia, Missouri, Smith Cotton High School. I spoke at a conference, and somehow his dad got my number. He texted me this week, like, hey, Blake's coming to town. Like, wow, okay, I've never had the opponent's kicker's dad texting me during the week of the game. But Groupie's a good player. I mean, there's like 11 or 12 guys on this team that have local ties. So it's an alert point that you brought up there, Dylan. But a very interesting team. I'm like, who's on their staff that's watching us every day?
Mitch Holt is our guest and getting set for Monday Night Football. Last thing for you, Mitch. We got a double dose of you today as you were on the Infinity Sports Network with your man C-Dot up there in Kansas City. We got to hear a little bit of that. And you mentioned that there's probably going to be a need for Andy Reid to diagnose, figure out a different way with all that missing offense extrapolated out that's not going to be available for this team because of injuries or other situation. Certainly for the Chiefs, the bye week seems to be coming at a very interesting time as the Chiefs will be on a bye the next week, so the next game for the Chiefs won't be until the 20th. How do you feel like Andy Reid, is this going to be a one-week revamp for him? And I know that there's no thought of that going into the Saints, or maybe there is. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Do you feel like this is going to be a progression over several weeks to figure it out? How important will this upcoming bye week be to try to figure out everything that's going to need to change perhaps for this offense to get to where he wants it to be?
I tell you all the time, Andy Reid's got the brain of a dolphin. He sleeps half brain at a time, the other half is awake. So my answer to you, Blake, is that half of his brain is poured into this game, how to figure out to beat a good Saints team. This is going to be another knockdown dragout, boys. Get a good night's sleep Sunday night after the Royals Yankees. Oh, no, they're not playing Sunday, sorry. Also it's the long-term thought. Now, let me just walk through this to illustrate this point. You have got, are you going to need Kelce? Obviously. Gray? Yes. Where's Jared Wiley? Need you a little bit here, dude. It's time to show up as a rookie in your fifth game. Oh. Let me give you a surprise one. Jody Fortson's back. Ding. You may see four tight ends in this game. Wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, Xavier Worthy, we know what he can do. Sky Moore, come on, buddy. Where you at? We need you. Hardman may not play. We'll see what the injury report is today. This is now a Friday, not a Saturday in the NFL world because we play Monday. Look for the Saints report. It's very, very, very big. Because if Taysom Hill is out of this game, it's enormous for the Saints. But back to my point, I'm just telling you all these guys that are going to touch the ball. That's four tight ends. Justin Watson has got to become, everybody has to be better, a little bit better. Even Kelsey, everybody's got to be a little bit better. And then the three running backs that'll play, because P. Ryan, Hunt, and Steele are all going to get about a third, third, third in this game. And then for Mahomes, dude, the picks have got to go. The trust your protections, trust your guys running right routes, and just recapture what makes you great, and that is being 10 years old. So do all that. The turnovers have got to shut down, but everybody I just mentioned, which I think is everybody did, eligible to touch the ball in this game Monday night, has got to be a factor and be better than they've been. There's your answer for not only this game, but over the next several weeks, because it's going to be a while. Now, we'll know this week probably how long with Rashee Rice. There's still a chance that he could return yet this season. To me, it's a miracle, but we'll see. And then at some point, we're going to get Pacheco back. But until that time happens, everybody I laid out is going to have to be a part of this. No one greater than the other, including Kelsey.
Definitely a situation for what Coach Higgins calls here at Portia State, the next man up mentality. It is the Chiefs on Monday Night Football taking on the Saints. Pregame coverage begins on the Chiefs Radio Network at 6 p.m., 7:15 for the kickoff, and that'll, of course, move the Chiefs Kingdom Show to Tuesday next week at 6 o'clock on that Tuesday, and then a bye week, and maybe coming at a good time for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis appears each week of the season, brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply, subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424226. Mitch, enjoy Monday night. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
We will, and we can talk. And well, I can even jump on with you next week if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll welcome you anytime.
But let me just give you, I know you're up against the time, but let me just give you, people go, is this spy coming at, it's too early. It's too early. No, it's not. No, it's not. This is a team that has played 46 games. In 2-1/4 years. It's an NFL record. Anytime they can get a rest, they need to take it. There's these little bits of rest throughout the season. This is coming at the absolute right time. They've got to get away and try to figure all this out of how they're going to get this done moving forward without the dudes. This bye absolutely comes at a good time. And this year, the Chiefs actually have a +5 net rest advantage. If you play a Monday night game, Blake, you it's tough to then play that next Sunday, right?
Oh, absolutely.
If you get a bye after the Monday night game, it's an enormous break. Chiefs get +5 net rest advantage this year, according to Warren Sharp. Last year, they were about -4 or -5 and had that dreaded stretch where other teams had 2 weeks to prepare for them in December or a week and a half. That doesn't happen this year. The schedule actually pushes in their favor. The bye comes in an absolutely perfect time.
Yeah, they're looking, typically you think you'd want a little bit later, but for, as Mitch said, looking great this year and looking like Mitch will be with us next week. So Tim and Dylan, I'll be on the road to Missouri Southern, but they'll look forward to hearing from you next week. Mitch, have a great call Monday.
See you, fellas. Good luck to the Hornets today.
Best of luck to the Hornets and best of luck to the Chiefs. Mitch Holtis will be with you guys next week. So, hey, bye week, Mitch. We'll take Mitch. If Mitch wants to call in the middle of basketball season,
absolutely,
we'll probably answer the phone.
And we will.
Yeah.
I think so.
If he wants to call in the middle of the NCAA tournament in March, Dylan's going to answer the phone and we'll put him on, and whatever he wants to pontificate about, the pulpit will be open.
Absolutely.
Here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Speaking of all the stuff that we have going on, there is a lot today. So let's run it down pretty quickly. Live at the Hive at Taken Trahoon will be there for a football homecoming. I've actually got a remote out at Old Navy starting at 10 o'clock this morning. You can hear that here on the Emporia's radio stations, the KVOE network of stations. In terms of sports, busy day today. 1 o'clock pregame, Hornet Sports Network. Emporia State football looking to get right a bounce-back opportunity against Northeastern State. You can hear that on Mix 104.9. Game 1 of the ALDS
tonight, Royals at Yankees, 5 o'clock pregame, first pitch 5:38 on KVOE. We're moving KU football over to Country 101.7. They're on the road in the desert at Arizona State. Is KU ever going to win again? Not enough time to get into that.
Coming up
tomorrow, we will have the NFL Insider for you at 11:30. Cowboys, Steelers for Sunday Night Football on KVOE. And then, of course, game two of the ALDS will be Monday night, and we'll have the Chiefs and Saints. So we've got Kansas City fans covered down here. Royals on KVOE, Chiefs on Monday Night Football on Country 101.7. So that is how the rest of the weekend will shake out. Thank you very much to our guests, Coach O, Mitch Holtis, as always, Coach Trujillo from Emporia High Tennis. For Dylan and for Tim, this is Blake. This is KVOE Emporia. We'll rejoin the Infinity Sports Network here in just a moment. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
The Emporia State football team went on the road and forced 7 turnovers, but only scored 7 points off those turnovers in a 14-9 loss at Northwest Missouri last week. E-State returns.